Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the perfect gift for my wife, Linda. At least I thought it was. I'm pretty sure that we had talked about getting one before. And I know that we admired others who had them. It would have been a benefit to her, a time saver. No, the rice cooker that I bought her for Christmas would be a blessing. There was only one problem. She didn't ask for it, and she didn't want it. Last week, Pastor Brock told the story of David dancing. He's so exuberant that the Ark of the Covenant is being brought into the new capital of Jerusalem. And in our current passage from 2 Samuel, David is now in the height of power. His enemies, the Philistines, have been defeated. He has consolidated all of his power, and the kingdom is now unified in this new capital of Jerusalem. David is even living in a grand house built for him by King Hiram of Tyre, a trading partner and political ally whose kingdom was on the coast of the Mediterranean. David now wanted to build a similar house, a nice house, for his God in which the Ark of the Covenant could dwell. It's not unusual for a ruler in ancient times to build a nice house for his God. The ancient world and the ruins that are around now were full of them. It was a way for royalty to honor the deity, and also it was a sign of God's blessing on the king and his family, and indeed on the kingdom itself. The people could be assured of God's presence through that particular structure. Both David and the prophet Nathan, David's chief advisor, are sure that this is the right thing to do. It would be a blessing to God and to the nation to build the temple. There was only one problem. God didn't ask for it, and God didn't want it. You see, our God likes being on the move. God is really more of a camper than he is a resort guy. In Exodus, the freed slaves make their way in the wilderness to the promised land. And the Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of God's presence, was placed in an ornate tent called the tabernacle, along with elaborate lampstands, golden altars for incense, beautiful tapestry screens. The tapestry communicated God's holiness and greatness, his oneness and his presence with his people. And placed at the center of the encampment, with all of the other tents around of the 12 tribes of Israel, was this tabernacle. The symbolism is rich. God at the center, dwelling and moving with his people, moving them where he directs them to go. And now David wants to tie down God to one spot, a house, a temple. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're probably not that much different from David. After all, who wants God on the loose, moving and shaking people to their spiritual core, changing hearts, transforming lives, and maybe even changing us? God forbid. I mean, we're Lutherans after all. When we start speaking about the Spirit and God dwelling with us and transforming us, we start getting a little nervous. I mean, we like God to be tied down at least a little bit, to be in control. But God won't be controlled. And God didn't need to live in a lifeless building. He had already created a living building in which to dwell. And here it's helpful to understand a little bit of Hebrew. The word for house in Hebrew is beth, B-E-T-H. And so you can imagine from which we get the term Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, or Bethel, God's house. It is both a physical structure, but the term Beth is also used to describe one's living family. For example, the house of David. It is with God's no to the temple, however, that David is now given a yes by God. God's promise to David is for a house, a family, a dynasty that will last forever. And that promise is very, very important in the Old Testament that we get from this particular passage from 2 Samuel. It is the longest monologue in the Bible since we had the conversations that Moses had with God 500 years earlier. And it becomes a major theme, a major understanding of who God is and the limitness to which God will go to show his love to his people. Even though David's future descendants, the future kings, would bring punishment and ultimately destruction to the nation because of their unfaithfulness and corruption, God promises never to withdraw his faithful, loving commitment to David and to David's descendants. It is an eternal covenant that he makes. God would lift up the people and care for them. The people would never be alone. God would tabernacle with them, would move with them, and shape them. He is the good shepherd who leads his people to greener pastures, out of the dark valleys, to eternal life. And Israel would continue to face challenges, both inside and outside of the country. They would experience invasion by foreign nations and finally destruction as a nation 500 years after 2 Samuel. But in another 500 years, they would also experience redemption through the sending of a promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, who was born of the lineage and of the house of David. The dynasty of David continuing. God later accepts the building of the temple, but on his timetable. It will be David's son Solomon who builds the temple. And David by now is old and retired, and he serves as the chief fundraiser, calling upon the people to support the work of the building of God's temple. The lesson is clear here. We don't need a building, but we do need a house. We need each other, and we need God to fulfill our mission and ministry. A house not just of brick and mortar, but a faithful people, a part of a holy royal dynasty, giving their all to God in the tabernacle of worship, the building of authentic relationships with each other, and the serving of our neighbor in need, not only locally, but all around the world. You and I are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. We are a part of the house and the dynasty of David. to do God's work in the world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.